A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Five Times podcast with me, Neil Mellor. I'm going to give it a go for you this season. We are in Elis in Grigsby. Thank you to them. To introduce the guests, we have former Reds Dominic Matteo and Gary Gillespie. Hello, lads.
Hi, Mels. How you doing?
All right, Mels.
Good, lads. Right, let's get started. First up, the Liverpool lads after the game against Spurs at the weekend in London went out and a few of the new players were forced to sing as part of their new initiation. Some of you may have seen it, some of you may not have seen it. Gary, first with you, what was the most memorable initiation ceremony you can remember?
Well, they're actually copying what we used to do, obviously, because it must be like a following tradition, because we certainly had to sing a song at the Christmas party. So if you'd signed any time you'd signed before that, the Christmas party normally came along, obviously, just before sometime in December when there was a free kind of like week. And you had to get up and give a song. And how well you did was rated by how many pints of beer got thrown over you. So if you didn't get any pints of beer thrown over you, you were all right. Yeah. To be honest with you, I can't really remember much about the Christmas party. They were like a kind of haze afterwards. I always remember like we used to have to go into training afterwards, which was quite funny. A few of the lads had come straight from the Christmas party on occasions and just come in fancy dress to train the next again morning. So it was a good laugh. And listen, it's admirable that they do that. I think it's good for camaraderie. And it was something that I thought that possibly had maybe died within like the football culture and certainly at Liverpool Football Club. So I'm quite happy to hear that and see that. And I think it's only a good thing for them.
Sort of a standard procedure, isn't it? It seems to be the singing. Don, what about you? Was it singing?
Very similar to Gary's, actually. It was we did ours at Christmas. If you know a young lad coming through or a new signing, it was always done at Christmas. And we used to always use Tommy Smith's old club in Liverpool, and he'd been kind of a meet in town, somewhere to eat, a few beers around town, and in there for a bit of a party, and he'd have to get up on stage and do a number, and like Gary said, he used to get swilled by all the boys. He sometimes took a few friends with you, so they had the opportunity to sometimes swill a few of the heroes, which they quite enjoyed doing, a few of my friends. We also used to have Egg of the Year, but we was like voted for at Christmas, which there was strong competition between Rob Jones and McAteer for that. I think one year all the lads voted for Barnsley. I don't know if Gary had gone by then, but one of the lads had voted for Barnsley to win it, and he was absolutely devastated because you know what John's like. And but he had to get up on stage, and all the boys were swilling him, but that didn't go down too well with John. Well,
hopefully, it went down well with the boys down there at Tottenham. Let's move on to the game, the performance at Spurs. Think we deserve more, Gary?
Possibly. I thought it was a really good game. What a great advert for the Premier League. It's one of the best games I've actually seen. It was played really with high tempo, good intensity from both sides. And Liverpool probably were like dominant in the first 45 minutes. I think once Tottenham got the equaliser, they were probably the better of the two sides. But overall, for the majority, I think Liverpool probably deserved more than what they got. I think you look at some of the, maybe not the chances, but some of the situations that could have created clear-cut chances were just that little, just one pass was just awry, if you know what I mean, and it was maybe probably the final pass that just let us down. But no, I thought it was an encouraging performance. And I think when you look over for the rest of the season, I think if you perform like that, then you'll win more games than certainly what you'll lose or draw. And I think that's the benchmark how you want to play. And I think that's the benchmark for how certainly Jürgen wants his team to go about games. So it was an encouraging performance, Mills.
Don, do you think Tottenham should still have been in the game to get that equalising goal? I'm thinking back to the disallowed goal from Mane a few moments before.
Yeah, it was so touch and go. They say they always give the strikers a bit of luck you need sometimes, but in that occasion we didn't get it. But there was some great moves by them three. I mean, Mane was exceptional again. Obviously, he carried on from where he left off at Burton. I think he's just that player. He's just so difficult for teams to pick up. And him with Firmino and his movement and Coutinho, they're so difficult to mark, the three of them, because no one really knows where they actually play. They move about the field and get in good positions where defenders don't like to go. I think, like you said, if we'd have been a little bit more clinical, we could have maybe got our chances. I think possibly the Tottenham goal we could have been avoided. Wasn't the best defending again. you know, the way it went in and stuff. And we could have, I think Klein maybe could have done a bit better. But the little things that we need to try and improve on. But overall, I think, you know, the manager's got to be impressed with the performance. And, you know, let's, if we can carry on, like Gary said, playing like that week in, week out with a little bit of improvement. If he's just sort of defending out and get rid of these elementary mistakes, I think we can do all right.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that he goes with, like, Firmino, you know, is that false number nine. It seems to be that that's the kind of formation, especially away from home in big games, that he wants to play. I mean, I think, you know, talking to many Liverpool supporters, you would have probably myself included, you would have probably gone with Origi up front to give you that little bit of focal point and a little bit of, you know, penetration. But certainly the way that Liverpool played that, down at Arsenal and certainly down at Tottenham, they get numbers into the box when they get themselves forward and they break with a good bit of pace and a good bit of urgency. Sadly, that was lacking at Burnley for whatever reason. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I think as well, when we're at our best, Mels, is when we've got players running in behind and their defenders are running back towards their goal. We didn't see a lot of that at Burnley. We didn't see a lot of that at all. A lot of games last season, especially Anfield, we just played, you know, it was very comfortable for back fours or back fives to play against us because it was all in front of them. No one was really getting in behind. There was no space in behind. I think the positions that Mane and Firmino and Khedira are taking up, it allows people like Lallana and Mane and Wijnaldum to get into these holes and get in behind and really hurt defences, because that's what you've got to do at this level. You know, if you're playing around teams, you've got to have that bit of pace in behind.
It's interesting, you both mentioned Adam Lallana there, and it seems that he's playing a more deeper role this season. 12 kilometres he covered in the game. I think it's fair to say since he arrived, he may have divided opinion a little bit, but, you know, how big a season is it for him dropping a little bit deeper, do you think?
I think it's a massive, you know, I think it's credit to him that he's got the adaptability to play that sort of role. I think we talked about Adam Lallana and seasons gone by about how many goals he should be scoring, and he should be scoring an awful lot of more goals. But I think if he's playing in that deeper line midfield, I think, for me, he has one touch too many at times. And I think you've got to see a picture like a lot earlier in positions like that to make these passes forward. But I think certainly you'd have no doubt about, like, playing Adam Lallana in there from a work rate point of view. You know, 12 kilometres is quite an achievement, I think, to be honest with you, to be running that much. And he brings that little bit of, like, skill as well. He's good in tight areas, Adam Lallana. For me, it's just a case of seeing a pass a little bit earlier and making the pass a little bit earlier. A very similar to Coutinho as well. I think that he has to do that as well for Liverpool to get the best out of themselves going forward. And as I say, when I say these half chances that they create are good situations, I just think if the two of them can see passes a little bit earlier, then I think we'll turn these good opportunities into goals more.
We're speaking a lot there about the attacking players, but I'll ask you, Dom, about Matty making his Premier League debut. How impressed were you with him?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping on Friday, I mentioned it, I knew I'd liked him to start the game. Obviously signed him. I think him and Lovren for me could be the two going forward, and they need to play games together. Obviously the Burton game, it was really hard to judge him because, you know, wasn't maybe the best of opposition. But against Spurs, he looked comfortable for a Premier League game. It's a hard game to go to Spurs with a good side. I just thought he looks comfy on the ball, and I think all Liverpool centre are, especially in Gary's day, you know, they were told to get on the ball from the back, and I think it's great to see a centre half wanting to get the ball off the keeper and try and play out, because that's the way Liverpool were brought up. It's the way I was brought up. It's the way, as a young lad, you come through the ranks yourself, Mels. You know what it's like. You try and get the ball from the back, and all the best teams do it. They don't just keep the ball down the field and give it away. You know, try and keep the ball. And I think Matip, he will look to get on it. And a number of times he actually breaks right wide into a full-back position and they kind of split. So he gets on the ball and he's playing like climbing further down the line. He's a very clever player. He could probably play the holding role as well. But I've been very impressed. I think there's more to come from him in both areas, attacking and defending. I think he's got to improve a little bit on his strength maybe. But overall, it was a really promising game.
Just before we talk about transfers, just want to mention the Daniel Sturridge situation. There was obviously a picture of him when Origi got brought on at Spurs at the weekend, and his face was, well, it was an interesting face. What he pulled as if to say, why am I not going on the pitch? You know, as you could say, it looks a little bit uncertain at the moment for Daniel Sturridge. Is it a case of trying to find a way in the team? What do you think, Gary, for Sturridge?
Well, listen, it's down to Daniel Sturridge, as simple as. From what I've seen so far, he hasn't warranted to be in the starting lineup. I know he scored two goals when he came on against Burnley, but, you know, they're kind of two tap-ins. it's certainly down to Daniel Sturridge. I think he's got to prove to the manager that he's worthy of a starting position. And at this moment in time, he hasn't done that for me. Listen, we all know what Daniel Sturridge brings to the team. He's a talented individual. He's international quality. But it doesn't matter if you're the highest class player in the world. If you're not on it and you're not at it, you're not worth it, your salt to be in the starting 11. And at this moment in time, for whatever reason, he just doesn't seem to be at it when he gets the opportunity to play. And it's, as I say, it's down to him. We all know his ability, and like, I think Liverpool will be a far better team with a better Daniel Sturridge. And you know, I think he's still got a lot to prove to the manager. I think the manager's not 100% sure of him and convinced with him. So it's down to Daniel Sturridge. I don't think it's down to Jurgen Klopp or the rest of the Liverpool squad. I think it's solely down to the individual.
Right, transfer deadline day approaching. We've made our own signing. We've been joined by Davey Tomo. So Tomo, transfer deadline day, what are you expecting? A busy time down at Melwood for Liverpool, do you think, or quiet, do you think, this year?
I think there might be a few people going out, but I can't see anyone else coming in. You know, obviously the big talk about Sacco going on loan. I reckon he could be on his way, to be honest. He's got a lot of confidence in himself, and maybe he looks at them clubs and he thinks they're a little bit below him. He's probably waiting for someone else to come in who he thinks is a little bit more suitable, or maybe he wants to go back home.
Do you think he has a future? If he turns down all the offers he has this window, do you think he's got a future? Jurgen Klopp may turn around and go, well, if you prove yourself, you may get a few games before January.
Maybe he wants to stay and fight for his place. You know, you can look at it that way as well. And if that is the case, then fair play to the lad for knuckling down and trying to show people changing it.
That was my dog. Sorry about that.
That was Sacco.
Oh, scrappy dude.
So you said that a little bit earlier on about players going out. You know, Wisdom potentially going out. Markovic as well. Any players that you think are leaving or have left that you're disappointed to see go?
Who's this directed to here?
I had enough of you, Tom. Let's have Dom back in the conversation.
Yeah, get Dom on.
No, I don't think so. I think he's done some good business. We've got a good few quid in for the players that we've sold. We've brought some decent players in. I still think we do need to add to the squad. I don't know if we'll have a dip in for a left-back late on. I don't know. There's a bit of rumours where I live in Yorkshire that the lad at Leeds, Charlie Taylor, I've read it in the local press over here that there could be an interest in him. I've seen him play quite a bit for Leeds and he's been decent, so
is
I don't
he,
know if that
is... Is he a gamble, Dom? Because I've seen a lot of him in the Championship and he looks like he goes forward well, as Moreno yeah. does. Is he a gamble or not?
I don't know. Well, obviously he's a bit younger maybe, but I think he's a good learner. He's certainly learned the Championship pretty quick. You know, he's come through with some good lads at Leeds there. I don't know. I'm just thinking that's an area that we definitely need to strengthen in. And, you know, if you're looking for a good young English left back, you know, there's not that many knocking around that are available. And he's maybe one for the right money you could get. But I definitely think it's an area because although James Milner did great at the weekend and he has been doing great wherever he plays, we need a natural left back playing there. And I just think we need to bring one in. And I'm sure he must be looking to bring one in, definitely.
Gary, what do you think?
Well, I think there might be a few going out, as Tomo said and suggested. I think he's more or less happy with his squad, but you know, I think Liverpool fans have been screaming out for him to go out and buy a left back for like quite a long time now. But I think it's an area of the pitch where, you know, even if Moreno was playing at his best, you'd want some sort of backup and some sort of cover for him. Yeah. Sacco might be a situation with Sacco that, you know, he might think of himself as maybe even playing at left fullback, Sacco, and maybe the manager thinks that as well. So I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure he's quite happy with the strength and depth that he's got at this moment in time. The only one position that really screams out to us all, I think, is that left back position.
Tomo, Danny Ing short on game time. What's the best thing for him to do? There's loads of interest, maybe as many as 8 clubs in the Premier League all interested in. What's the best for him to do, do you think?
Well, I'd like to keep him, to be honest. I think he's, you know, he's a natural goal scorer. I know he's going to be short of fitness, but I think we're going to need all the strikers we've got after letting Benteke go. We need as many different options as possible going forward. So I'd definitely keep him. I think when he's fit, he's a lively goal scorer, and I think they're the type of players we're going to need. After seeing the way they played against Burnley, you know, teams dropping deep, we're going to need some foxes in the boxes.
So in terms of the... The transfer.
I think
go on, Gary.
I think it's an interesting situation. It's Tom Morales. He does need match fitness, doesn't he? But how do you get match fitness if you're not getting picked to actually play? So it's a bit like a catch-22 situation, isn't it? Like, so, you know, I think the injury for him just came at the wrong time, didn't it? Because he was actually beginning to look the part and score goals. And it would be interesting to see if the manager does have a little bit of faith in him and maybe put him in one or two games.
I'd like to welcome Rob Daly to the Five Times podcast, UEFA commentator and German football commentator. First of all, Rob, we have to get started with Christian Pulisic. Did I say that right? He's been linked with Liverpool, the young Dortmund winger. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Pulisic. He's gone with Pulisic because he's grown up in America, so he's sort of taken away that part of his name. But he's only 17 years old, very quick, very skillful. He signed for the Dortmund Academy something like 18 months ago, grew up in Pennsylvania in the States, and last year sort of broke into the first team and had a real impact for Borussia Dortmund, a club that has given youth lots of chances over the past 2 years. He scored a couple of goals, the youngest player in Bundesliga history to score two goals. And he's, you know, it's whether there's a place for him at Borussia Dortmund this season, because Thomas Tuchel has signed lots of attacking midfield players, exactly his position.
Rob, is there a connection with Jurgen Klopp with him previously or not?
Klopp would have been at the club when Pulisic was signed, certainly. And I think part of the reason that the Liverpool thing has come up, but I certainly think he would see someone like Jurgen Klopp as being the right kind of manager to develop him, having seen Klopp's work at Borussia Dortmund. I'm really surprised that the transfer rumour happened at all, and it obviously seemed fairly concrete. It was from a number of widely reported, well-sourced places that Liverpool had put in a big bid for him. Because I do think Dortmund see him as one for the future. And it isn't just in terms of his playing style and his wonderful skill. In terms of an asset, a media asset, a commodity to sell to the United States, he's a big deal over there at the moment. And I'm sure Dortmund thought of him as a big part of their future.
So with the transfer window nearing a close now, how likely do you think it would be that he would join us over at Liverpool?
Well, his father has said that he's not looking to go anywhere, that he will stay. I think it's very interesting, and I was trying to break down the logic in my head. Why would Liverpool bid now for this 17-year-old? Because I don't think Pulisic's going to get a great deal of game time. In attacking midfield, they've just signed André Schürrle. They've signed Mario Götze back from Bayern. Emre Mor, the young Turkish international. And Ousmane Dembele, who will be one of the most exciting players in Europe in a few years' time. So maybe Liverpool were looking at it and thinking, well, maybe now's the time. Pulisic's going to see, I'm not going to get a lot of games. I think Dortmund, I wonder if eventually they'll settle on loaning him out to someone because they want him to play. Because I think even if Liverpool did sign him now, would he be starting ahead of Firmino, Mane, the attacking options Liverpool have got? I'm not so sure. I think Liverpool maybe are trying to plant a seed as well with Pulisic to say, you know, down the line, we really want you.
So do you think it's something we may see perhaps in the future, maybe in the summer or even in years to come rather than right now?
Yeah, I do actually. And I think Liverpool will go back in for him if nothing happens at the end of this window. I wonder if Dortmund will try and loan him out before the end of the summer transfer window. There's not a lot of time to go. I mean, in terms of skill, he can beat players so easily. He's very intelligent. His touch is wonderful. And it's why he has flourished under Tuchel, because Tuchel has turned Dortmund a bit more possession-based. They are full throttle when they need to be, like Klopp's Dortmund. But he can really retain possession. He can score goals. And in terms of the American audience, I was at a talk recently with Thomas Hitzlsperger, who works for Fox Sports in terms of their Bundesliga coverage in the States, and that Pulisic is the one player that American audiences are really excited about now. You know, you've got the likes of Dempsey and Howard getting older. He's seen as the bright young star. And in terms of him being a marketing commodity, you know, to be rather cynical about it, I certainly think Liverpool see that as an attractive prospect too.
Rob, interesting stuff. Very grateful for your time and joining us on the Five Times podcast. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure.
What's the day like for an agent then? Here's a guy who's a good friend of mine and who's brilliant for me throughout my career. He's also the man who represents Liverpool's James Milner. He's Matthew Buck from the PFA. Okay, can you tell us a couple of players who you represent?
Yeah, from a Liverpool perspective, I've represented James Milner now since he was 16, 17 years of age, so a long time representing James. A few former Liverpool players who came through the sort of successful Steve Highway youth team and won a couple of back-to-back youth cups. So I represent Stephen Darby, Bradford City's current captain, and Jay Spearing at Bolton, their captain. I also represent female players, so I represent Siobhan Chamberlain and also your women's captain, Gemma Bonner, at the current time.
So James Milner, how did it come about, his move to Liverpool?
James was obviously in his last year of his Manchester City contract, and he was playing fairly regularly, but he assessed all his options. He looked at his age at the time, how often he was playing, obviously a very competitive setup in Man City. He just felt he probably wasn't getting enough starting appearances he liked. It was a difficult decision for him, but as his sort of contract neared an end, he obviously negotiated with the club. We spoke with Manchester City and we had a lot of meetings with them to see sort of whether or not it would be something that could happen. And as we got towards the end of that season in 2015, I think James sort of realised that maybe for the good of his career and to play regular football, he maybe needed to move on and have a fresh challenge. So as his contract expired, so from January onwards, we did have interest from Italy and Spain. I think in total, around 14 clubs made contact over, sort of like say, from a foreign club perspective. And then sort of the end of May, a few meetings with Liverpool, and very quickly James realised that it was a challenge that he wanted to take. It was obviously Brendan Rodgers at the time, but James, you know, met with Brendan, we met with Ian Eyre, we had a couple of good meetings. The club, you know, wanted to get back to being in the Champions League, wanted to win the challenge for trophies, and you know, for James, it's been a great move, and hopefully, like say, he can put that right this season and bring some silverware to the club.
Well, you speak to James regularly. How much is he enjoying that new role at left back, do you think, this season?
I think it's a difficult one for him because, like say, he's naturally right-footed. I know he said recently in the press that he would prefer right back to left back. He's played, obviously, in a multitude of positions across the pitch, central midfield, you know, off the strike, because he's played left and right wing, and he's played right back at times, so there's not many positions left on a pitch for him to play. He doesn't find it, I wouldn't say he finds it necessarily easy, but as people know from his personality and his temperament, James will always put the team first. And, you know, if Jürgen, the manager, asks him to play a role, whatever role that is, James wants to contribute to the team. He'll, you know, sacrifice himself no matter where it is on the pitch in order to give the team the best opportunity to win. The sort of full-back roles this season in the system that he's playing, it's a very fluid system, and I think you saw in the League Cup recently against Burton, he had a couple of assists, he got forward, you know, a lot of times, and even at the weekend against Tottenham, I think he...
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend, but what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He got forward every opportunity he could and overlapped, and really, I guess it's kind of somewhere between a wing-back role and a winger role, but he's got to still have that discipline to fill in and, you know, cover defensively, which he's learning all the time. But, you know, he is a quick learner and he's got, you know, a very football-savvy mind. So I'm sure, you know, if that role continues, you know, he's more than willing to, you know, play any position he can to contribute for Liverpool.
And he obviously signed for Liverpool under Brendan Rodgers, the change of managers in Jurgen Klopp coming to Liverpool.
I think he's enjoyed it. Obviously for him, you know, as a player, signed for a new club and only a few months into that, there's a managerial change. It's a little bit of an unstable period, a little bit difficult, but I think, you know, James would say it's one sort of world class manager to a, you know, another world class manager. James has huge respect for him, and James says, you know, he's 30, but he's always learning, and, you know, different styles of management, he's still learning and embracing it, to be honest. And I think, like I said, this season with not having European football, not having international football, James is extremely focused on doing the best he can for Liverpool, and hopefully that is silverware. And, you know, speaking to him and other players regarding it, you know, the standard is set, and they're really desperate to get back into Champions League. But on a settle for fourth, I really think title this season.
That's enough of James. Let's talk to you. Done well to get hold of you in the transfer window. How manic is that for you?
It's still very busy. I've been speaking to clubs and managers all through the day today, sort of last minute deals, what clubs may need, what trying to agree a couple of renegotiations at the same time. Some of them might come to fruition over the next sort of 24 hours or so, some of them might not, but it's extremely busy. I think, you know, there's a bit of brinkmanship in there. Ideally, I think clubs, fans, agents, players would prefer everything to be done a bit quicker, a bit sooner, preferably from my point of view, probably, you know, cut off time before the season starts would be more beneficial to everybody, but it is what it is, so we get on with it. I'm still hopeful of maybe doing one or two more transfers by sort of 11 o'clock, probably be on my phone most of this evening, and then, but you do get even the late ones, you know, mid-afternoon, late afternoon, where you have to get in a car and drive places.
I wish you all
great.
The best.
Thanks, Neil. Good to talk to you. Take care.
Thanks for coming on to the Five Times podcast.
All the best.
Right, let's finish off by talking about the academy. And it was a hugely successful season for the academy, with so many young players graduating through and playing first-team football under Jurgen Klopp last season. Looking at the 18s and the 23s this season, it looks a little bit more interesting. Certainly pre-season, when you look at some of the players who made an impact, Woodburn, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Ejiari as well. I'll start with you, Gary. You've watched an awful lot of the youngsters. How impressed were you with the young lads this pre-season?
Yeah, I think it's been a bit of a conveyor belt in recent years, isn't it? It's pretty ironic that we're talking about a young lad in Germany, 17 years of age, we're going to sign. But, you know, we're talking now like about our under-18s and under-23s. So, again, it's a strange situation that you want to bring your youngsters through your academy system, but always on the lookout to sign other players from elsewhere. I think the one player that really stuck out for me was young Woodburn. I think, you know, from even last season, beginning of last season, you could see that he's got something about him. And for a player at such a young age to be thrown into the first team, albeit in just pre-season and games like that that we've seen so far, he certainly looks as if he's got a bright future. Young Trent Alexander is very versatile as well. You look at the positions that he can play, which will not do him any harm in the future. So, you know, I think Ejiria as well showed great skill, great adaptability as well to be playing in central midfield. So that's just three players, but there's, you know, I think there's a number of other players coming through as well. So I think all the work that's getting done at the academy is certainly positive and it's certainly good. And, you know, listen, we've said it umpteen times and often enough that there's no better thing than having homegrown talent and coming through your academy and playing in the first team. Liverpool fans and would love to see that, and hopefully we can have that little bit of a conveyor belt, because we're not in the market to go out and sign 70 million players, million pound players anymore. We have to be realistic and know a place in line, and we're a few years away from being able to do that. So certainly the academy level guys coming through will certainly help Liverpool.
Don, we watched the 23s away at Arsenal at the Emirates, and Woodburn stuck two absolutely superb goals.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. He's only 16.
Yeah, so I mean, for his age,
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
what's
it's fantastic.
For him this season, what success?
Well, obviously, he stepped up from the 18s and now he's in the 23s, so I think it's obviously a good season for the 23s. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Jurgen Klopp involved him in a few squads, or definitely took him and maybe played him possibly in the cup or something. I don't know. I think the way he's going at the moment, he's really accelerating his own chances. And, you know, he's a real... What I like about him as well, he works his socks off. Like the other night, he got his two goals, but he was playing from the left and he was back and forth helping the team out. He's got a great work ethic for such a young lad. He's not just about scoring goals. There's more to his game than that. And, you know, the goals he scored the other night were great finishes. Very calm. I mean, the second one he put in the top corner was a fantastic finish. It was a good team performance. I think... talking about the other night, because it's in the 23s and a few overage players, you know, Wisdom played at the back with Lucas Lave. I think it was a great thing for the young kids to have Lucas around the players. You know, obviously, when like myself and Tomo and other players are around the club, and you've got a senior pro like Gary Gillespie or Aaron Hansen or whoever they may have been around the club, and you're playing with them in the reserves even, it just gives you a lift and you want to impress them and you want to do well. And I think a lot of the young lads raised the game the other night because Lucas was playing. And I think it was really nice. The attitude that Lucas showed as well in that game was top draw. He's never in doubt really with Lucas, but I think the young lads really learned from him, and I think the performance in a way was down to the kind of the way Lucas played, and all the players seemed to react around him.
I'm with you there, Dom. I think the young lads miss having the around them. You know, I think the academy situation, having them separate, I think it unnerves people normally, you know, when they don't play with the senior players that often. I think when we were coming through, you know, we were around the first team, and you already knew the players you were playing with when you did eventually get there. So it made things a lot easier.
So, Tomo, I mean, you came through the youth system. How beneficial was that to know that you were playing with a senior player rather than players the same age? You know, you're playing with a player who's got perhaps a reputation at first team level and he's dropping down to the reserves because he's not in the first team.
Yeah, it's very exciting, isn't it? And but I mean, when we were coming through, though, we already half knew these players. You know, we've been putting the kit out for them. We've been getting slaughtered by them for the last years. So we were already very familiar, and we weren't nervous at all when we got to play with them in the reserves. And it definitely helps. You're constantly learning off these players, whether, you know, you just sat there having your dinner around them. You're learning how to be a professional footballer. And I think that's what's missing at times.
Okay, we're going to finish with a few questions from Twitter from the fans for you lads. We've pretty much answered one, which was from at Andrew Nice. He was asking about the youngsters and what impact they will make this season. He was questioning Woodburn and Trent Alexander-Arnold. I think we've touched on that a little bit. And at Tiz Lad, he wants to know, I'll ask Gary this, the thoughts on the Chinese investment, is that good or bad or likely to happen or not?
I don't know how likely it is to happen or not, but you know, I think any influx of money coming in, especially in this modern day age, I think can only help Liverpool. It's the way football is at this moment in time. The more money you have, it seems to be the more riches that you can spend, and the more money you can be able to spend, then it's seen as a way to success. Whether Jurgen Klopp would see it like that or not, I'm not 100% sure, because I think he's a manager that wants to build from within and just not be able to go out and buy all the best players and take it from there. So it's an interesting one. You know, I think there's so much speculation about buying and selling football clubs that we'll just have to wait and see what actually materialises. But, you know, only time would tell if it was a good thing or a bad thing. You have to remember back to the Hicks and Gillette situation and scenario where everybody thought that was going to be like the B's and E's, and Liverpool were going to be rejuvenated with the money that they were going to invest. And we all know what happened in that situation. It didn't quite work out that way. So I would say watch the space. And sometimes it's change for change's sake is not great. But in modern day football, money seems to be the one thing that makes everybody tick.
Tomo, at Duvac's Brains wants to know, do you worry about our reliance, too much reliance on Mane already?
I do a little bit, but I tell you what, though, he's been absolutely sensational. And I knew he was a fantastic player to begin with because we watched him last year. And in all the big games, he was a shining star for Southampton football. I'm excited by him and I hope he stays fit, because with him fit in the team, he works his socks off, but he's so dangerous. He leaves people for dead, and it's not something we've had for such a long time. And he's fitting into the team perfectly. So not that I'm worried about how reliant we are. It's just I'd like to see him fit, because one thing that we suffer with is our best players do get injured quite a lot, and we seem to suffer a little bit with that. We've got some fantastic midfielders there, and you know them linking up and getting in with the forward line, and you know you've got look at the likes of that. We've got Daniel Sturridge on the bench. I mean, who'd have thought that?
Dom, yeah. I've got one for you. I don't know if you saw the graphic recently with young Ollie Burke from Forest going to the Bundesliga as the most expensive Scottish player. Now, on the graphic I saw, you were the most expensive left-back in terms of Scottish transfer fees. So, who wants to know? Dam, at Dam Fool Egypt, wants to know, where do you stand on the Moreno, Milner and the left-back spot?
I think for me, I said it on Friday, I think that I'd play Milner at the moment, personally, just because I think he's a better defender. I know he's a midfield player, but for me, James Milner's he's a better defender one-on-one than Moreno is. I think Moreno gets caught out of position too often. I don't think James does as much. So I'd stick with Milner. Obviously, like I've said earlier, I do think we need to bring a left-back in. It's just is the time now to bring one in this short period of time. But for me, I'd stick with Milner at the moment. It looks like Jurgen Klopp's going to do the same thing.
Right, that's all for this show. And my thanks to Matthew Buck from the PFA and, of course, former Reds Dominic Matteo, Gary Gillespie and David Thompson. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time. Thanks, lads.
Cheers, lads. All right.
Cheers, boys.
Jurgen Klopp's been in charge, what, 8 months? Two finals? Eighth last season? What's the progress report, do you think, so far, Gary?
Well, it's too early to tell this season, but you have to finish higher than eighth. You know, two cup finals was nice last season. It would be lovely to think that we could go back to Wembley again in some sort of shape and form. But in saying that, eighth, it's a big jump. Can we do it again? I think, was it seventh we finished with Brendan, and then we didn't have European football the next again year, and you know what happened. We almost won it, finishing second. But, you know, before that game, I think the last 6 years, Tottenham have finished above us five times out of the last 6 years. So, you know, I think that's Tottenham. And then you add into the equation Chelsea, who look stronger this season, certainly, Man City, Man United, and Arsenal, who have never finished out the top four. So, you know, you're talking like against teams, it's going to be a big struggle for Liverpool and a big ask for them. Not to say that they can't do it. As I say, performances like we saw at the weekend against Tottenham and certainly down at the Emirates a week or so before that, then we've got a good chance of actually achieving that. But I think top four would probably be the goal for the end of the season. I think even finishing maybe sixth would maybe be obviously progression after finishing eighth. But I think Liverpool fans, and maybe even the owners, are expecting just that little bit more, and top four would certainly be realistic for me.
Right, okay, lads, we're going to introduce one last guest.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.